Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
This Easter message comes to you from Doug's Service and Marine in Camby. Share a hug. Give happiness to the people around. Today is a day to celebrate the rising of Christ. May the Lord be with you always. Happy Easter. Celebrate with so much happiness and thanksgiving. This Easter message comes to you from Doug's Service and Marine in Camby.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bring along with Paul Ramo, bringing you the report once again this morning. And we were able to get one event in this past weekend. It was boys tennis on Monday. And with me this morning is Austin Ireland. And you were the one and only event this week. You've got to feel pretty good about that, Austin.
Oh, yeah. Always feeling special. That's awesome.
Great. So how'd things go last Monday?
Well, you know, we got to be outside. That was the first time all season we got to, you know, get out of the Madison gym. The guys are, it was good just to get out there and to play. You know,
for sure.
We had a week of practice, all of it inside, but it was tough. But, you know, yeah, we got out there, and it's always good to just to get on the court. And it was a perfect day, though. It was really nice for us down in Redwood, you know, about 50, you know, mid-50s, and not windy, which is something we're not used to
sure.
The wind.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a good run. You know, we ended up losing 4-3. You know, we swept all the doubles and lost all of our singles. But yeah, we had a pretty good lineup here at one single. Jackson Buehr, he a really tough kid. That Andrew Metzel, the kid got fourth in the section last year, and you know, he started out 1-0 and ended up losing his first set 6-3, and then he lost the second set 6-1. You know, we had Liam Risch played at our second singles. He lost to Jacob Zollner, a couple seniors there, 6-3, 6-2. And, you know, Matt Martinson, he played at third singles, you know, playing singles this year a little bit to get him a chance there. He had a tough one. Drew Lundeen, a senior, he ended up losing that 7-5, almost had that first set, and then lost the second set 6-2. Gunnar Olson, he took on Colin Johnson. He lost 6-2, 6-0. But you know that we didn't have Gavin Stoltz for that event. He's usually in there, probably in the singles lineup. But it was a good experience, and a lot of the guys said, you know, we're not in tennis shape right now.
Right.
Yeah. So that kind of singles guys, they're pretty a single heavy team. Redwood is. They're very top heavy. Our doubles action: Wyatt Wiebe and Levi Olson. They beat Joe Navica and Milena Nez. 6-7, 6-0, 6-2. Yeah, the first set was a tiebreaker. They had a lose-off and a tiebreaker, and after that they woke up and, like I said, won 6-0, 6-2. Garrett Costa and Nate Gruhl, they took on Canyon Hicks and Marco Ramos. And like I said, first set went into extras. It was, they had to do a tiebreaker that first set. Ended up winning that first set 7-6, 7-4 in the tiebreaker. And then 6-4. And they're kind of mad at themselves. You know, they're like, we got to get where we got to be with our ground strokes. And, well, you know, like I said, they recognize what they got to do. And then our third doubles, Brody Boston and Luke Stock, they beat Killian Meunier and Ezekiel Rendon, 6-2, 6-1. So we got some, you know, we got young guys getting some experience there, and you know Brody and Luke getting a W there, you know, for freshmen there, just kind of making their debut. You know, that's kind of nice to see. And we got a couple exhibition guys, you know, playing Axel Rolodek and Brody Nelson play together. You know, one thing about they had a one double is an eighth grader. She's a volleyball player, and yeah, I mean, it's kind of very similar. You know what I mean? Tennis and volleyball, it's kind of, they have a net, and, you know, it's kind of parameters and
sure.
Serve motion's pretty similar. So, and they had a couple of junior high JV, about four of them girls on the team, and that was kind of cool to see. You know, they're like, yeah, there's volleyball players that just go out for tennis, and it's like, yeah, you can do that. You know, so that was kind of cool to see. And but yeah, we were unable to. I don't know, pull that up, but it was good to get outside and get some experience on the courts. Tuesday we didn't get our match in against Montevideo. You know, it's kind of, we got a Mickey Mouse around outside there, and you know, it's just yeah, I didn't get a match in. We practiced a little bit in the rain, and Yeah, we endured the wind and the rain. So
yeah, then the rest of the week it was impossible. So yeah.
Yep.
But actually, today you were down in action in Worthington, I believe, for a tournament, and I think probably can get that in.
Yeah, that's our plan. We're heading down there right now, and it's a doubles tournament. We got six doubles teams against a couple other few other schools there. I'm not quite sure who's all there, but yeah, just go out there and play some doubles and. You know, what the heck? Just go and swing around. We're out, be outside for a day, you know.
There you go. And what's the schedule like for next week then?
Tuesday, we're supposed to go to Minnewaska. Weather permitting, it looks like it's going to be kind of a, yeah. I don't know, we got a goofy looking week here, you know, another more rain. That's all we got there. We don't have anything else but the Minnewaska. So.
Okay. And you got to remember, for tennis, both boys and girls, that's the West Central Conference. So pretty good degree of competition of tennis ability. So, yeah, that's good.
Especially Minnewaska, too. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Okay, well, you take on the best and see all you do, and maybe get to see them again in the conference tournament later on in the
season.
Absolutely. So, good.
In order to be the man, you got to beat the man.
That's for sure. Well, thanks for the talk this morning, and best of luck today down in Worthington. We'll hear about it all about it next Saturday morning.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
We call it, baby.
That's Austin Ireland on tennis. We'll have more of the Coach's Show after this.
At First Security Bank in Canby, they'd like to remind area farmers that experience counts. Like farming, ag lending isn't something you learn overnight, and it's not something you can learn from a book either. First Security Bank in Canby has many years of professional experience in agricultural lending and all types of guaranteed loan programs. For farm operating, livestock, or real estate financing, see the experienced staff at First Security Bank of Canby, wishing the Canby Lancers the best of luck. First Security Bank of Canby, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender, and proud sponsor of the L.A. Amundsen Scholarship Program.
Stop on in, pick up your party supplies at the Madison Liquor Store. They have a great selection of beer, lots of beer specials, wine, liquor, everything you need to make it a great occasion. Madison Liquor Store open Monday through Thursday, noon to 8 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 325-98-7900. That's the Madison Liquor Store, easy to find right along Highway 40 in Madison. Stop by and see them soon. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, April 8th through Monday, April 11th in Theater 1. It's Sonic 2. That's Sonic 2, animated fun for the whole family, rated PG. In Theater 2, Morbius from Marvel Comics. That's Morbius in Theater 2, rated PG-13. Showtimes once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Happy Easter from the management and staff at Jim's Market in Canby. God is wonderful. He shared Jesus to us. May we also learn to share our blessings to others. Happy Easter from Jim's Market in Canby.
Well, you won't have trouble finding something to eat on Sunday. Holy Rosary Parish in Graceville will be hosting a free will donation pancake breakfast on Palm Sunday, April 10th, 8 to 11 in the morning. Pancakes, sausage, eggs, and beverages will be served. Take-home meals will be available. St. Michael's Church Cemetery Board is holding a traditional turkey meal Palm Sunday, April 10th, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. This meal will be pickup and in-town delivery only, no dine-in. Cost is $13. That will be served out of the Pantry Cafe in Madison. For delivery, call 320-598-3377. Please purchase tickets in advance at the pantry at St. Michael's Parish Office, or call 325-98-3690. Tickets will also be sold at the 5:30 Mass this evening. St. Leo Church hosting a sausage and pancake supper on Palm Sunday, April 10th, 5 to 7 at the church. This will be an all-you-can-eat event for free will donation. Swift County Fair Pancake Breakfast is going to be Sunday tomorrow, 8 to 1 at the Appleton VFW Post 4955, serving buttermilk pancakes, French toast, sausage, and a beverage. $8 for adults, 12 and under, $5, 3 and under eat free. And proceeds from that event in Appleton on Sunday go toward improving the Swift County Fair.
Spring break. You only get one each year. Making what to do kind of a big deal. But no worries. Mall of America's here to help you plan the best spring break ever. Headed out of town? We've curated pro-level packing lists so you're prepped and in perfect style wherever you're headed. And you can even click and buy with Shop MOA online. It's so easy. Looking for an amazing in-town getaway? Radisson Blue Mall of America makes it so simple. Like their fun-filled Rad Spring Break Package with all family entertainment galore. Or the Fort Blue Kids Camping Package. S'mores included. Want a day to just play during spring break? It's off to Mall of America because there's something for any age. From Crayola Experience to Moose Mountain Adventure Golf to Nickelodeon Universe. And just when you think it couldn't get more fun under our 72 degrees and sunny roof, it's our 30th birthday. There's a surprise around every corner, from exciting events to great giveaways. Our birthday, your gift. The best spring break ever. Visit mallofamerica.com/springbreak to start planning yours today.
Back here at the studio for the Culture Show, as you heard Mr. Ireland talk about tennis, that's the only activity that was held this past week. So Bart Hill is in the studio, and now we can talk baseball a little bit. But Bart, you were supposed to play on yesterday, and of course that was postponed probably midweek, and now it looks like you're going to be playing Monday, Bart.
Yeah, that game Friday, you never want to postpone a game because it's always hard to find, you know, dates that both teams are available. But, you know, as it turned out, it was a cold, windy day and the field was still wet and squishy, so it would not have been ideal to play. So we got that game moved to Monday with Pipestone, and that's not only our season opener, it's also the home opener, and that's a 5:00 start. And so the varsity will play in Madison, and then the junior varsity and the freshman will play at the high school with the doubleheader starting at 5:00 as well. And you know, we talked about that earlier, Dick, when I was on last week, about our number of freshmen that we have out. So, you know, thanks to Tony Smith, I think they got up to 10 games now just for the freshmen to play.
Good. Yeah, that's good. And then later on in the week, schedule?
Well, Thursday we're supposed to head down to Tracy, and not sure what the format for that is yet, if it's a varsity JV doubleheader. The last time we went down there, that's what we did, and we played in Milroy, and they used the lights so the JV could keep playing as long as they needed to finish the game. And I would guess that's the formula, but not sure. But, you know, Mother Nature is going to take a turn for the worse again, probably starting Tuesday sometime with rain, and it'll turn to snow flurries, I think. And, you know, the sad thing is it just doesn't, you know, we don't get that 24 hours in a row where it's evaporating and melting and things like that. And, you know, it's talking to the farmers, and I'm not a farmer, but there's still quite a bit of frost down in the ground that hasn't come up yet either. So, you know, who knows what's all going to happen. But, you know, they project lows into the 20s, you know, a couple of those nights. So I have no idea if we're going to play Thursday night or Thursday or not. If it's dry and not so windy in the 30s, you can still play, and maybe that's what's going to happen.
Well, I know if that gets delayed or postponed or whatever, it's a conference game, so you will make that up.
Yeah, and that's a plan. You know, sometimes you do lose some conference games. We're one of those. We have the mindset that we want to play them all, no matter how squished together they get.
Yep.
And I remember one year we were the only team to play all 10 conference games. There were some that only played 7, and I just shake my head going, like, you just got to find a place to fit them in, whether you have pitching or not. Maybe you'll find a gem that you didn't realize you had.
Yeah, that's right. Well, speaking of baseball, of course, the Twins opened up yesterday. I don't know what your feeling about the game was, but for me, I love to watch a pitcher's duel, and that certainly was great pitching by Seattle, and a nice job. I mean, that two-run home run in the first inning really hurt, but you thought hopefully the Twins could come back, but that was the only scoring they did, and then a solo shot by the Twins, and a great job by the Twins relievers. So that was a weak spot last year. But speaking of home openers, now the Twins can't sell bottled beer at the Target Field, Paul.
Why?
Because they lost the opener.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's a great side note on that. You've been saying that ever since I've known you, Dick. So we have a tradition on our baseball team. If we win, I always bring bottled Sundrop. You know?
Oh, you do?
And if we lose, I still bring the bottled Sundrop, but it sits there, and I go, well, we lost our opener, so we can't open these bottles. And they're just like, we can open them. I go, no, you can't open them. We lost our opener. And so it's kind of torture on them. But
seriously? You did that?
Yeah, we do that every year. So, yeah, it's fun. So I always, you know, it's one of those old bottle openers, you know, little metal things. And so I usually throw it on the ground, and I'm going like, okay, how are we going to open these? You know, it's like, we got to have an opener. And we didn't lose our opener. I know we didn't. So it's got to be around here someplace. So then they scatter around and find it. And of course, I, even though now you can just work, they're mostly twist tops, but they still have to open it up the old fashioned way. And we celebrate with a bottle of Sun Drop. And that's kind of a cool tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, another thing about baseball, tonight's a big night, Bart.
It is. We have our, we don't know how many years in a row we've been doing this fundraiser, and it's going to be at the happy hour this year. It's just to raise money to do improvements at the ballpark, and it's a good time. You know, the last time we did a big one like this was 2019, of course, then, you know, COVID hit, so the next 2 years we did not do anything. And, you know, the first time we did it, we had a black tie affair, formal, and it was fun seeing some of the people dress up, you know, and in suits and ties and things, but talking to a lot of them, they said, oh, that's too uncomfortable. I don't want to dress up like that. So we're just going to go with the baseball theme tonight. You can wear any baseball jersey, baseball t-shirts, baseball hats, you know, anything baseball related. So it'll be a little more casual, but it's always a good time.
Yeah. Well, the baseball board was established in 2003. Jay Katzenmeyer and his son, Mike, started it because I think in 1999 you turned on the lights for a VFW game and we had the 4th of July fireworks in the towers that day. Oh, yeah. So there was a period of 4 years or 5 years that we could not play night baseball in Madison. Mm. And Madison's claim to fame as far as night baseball, to my knowledge, a history book says we were the first community west of Hutchinson that had night baseball. And I know coming down the hill from Watertown or on 212 there, you could see the hue of the lights.
Yep.
And on a Wednesday night or a Friday night or a Saturday or Sunday night, and people say, hey, there's a ball game in Madison. Let's go watch it. And maybe you have seen the picture of the 1952 team when they went to state with all the cars parked around Madison Memorial Field, which is called now. And they would drop their car off on Saturday night, so they would have a nice parking space right next to the fence, go to church, and then come to the ballpark for activities. So we hope that we can help keep that tradition with some of the things Bart's talking about, that there's always things to do at the ballpark and stuff. But the original board was a seven-person board of yourself and myself, Jay Katzenmeyer, Dale Hippler, who was the American Legion coach, and let's see, who else we had?
We have on the original ones?
Tom Willigoy from the concession stand. There were seven people, and we might be missing somebody, but over the years we've had Brian Furnos and Jeff Olson.
Steve Haas was on the board.
Steve Haas was on the board, so now it's Darby Biergon, Chad Kranz, Matt Munson.
Matt Munson.
Tony Smith. Yep.
Who's the president?
Bart is now.
Okay. Yep. I said you should have played Hail to the Chief. Well, just go back and piggyback on that when you're talking about 1952. So Adam Conroy went down to the bowels of the museum and had a picture from that era, and he had it framed for me and gave it to me for my retirement last spring, and so I have it proudly hanging in my room, and it's just awesome. But ironically, Lyle Hansen, who's our neighbor, I went down and showed that to him, and he just laughed, and his eyes were beaming. Well, this was our shortstop, this is our second baseman, this is our first baseman. I'm sure this guy was pitching that game and brought back such great memories for him, and we sat and visited for about 45 minutes in his front yard, and it was just awesome. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a number of years ago, I had Don Essen here, Jay Katzenmeyer, and Hansen, Lyle.
Yep.
And Lynn, I think it was, too. I had them in and did an interview about their state trip. What year was that, 52?
I believe so, And
Mallards.
One of our first fundraising ideas was to get some of those people in here, and then people would call it and pledge money for Madison Memorial Field. And then we started getting, I mean, over the years, we've put over $250,000 into that ballpark, either with monetary figures or by volunteer labor to do such things. Mm-hmm. And We've always had a big major project, like we would replace the fence all the way around the playing field itself. We put up the upper deck above the old grandstand, new grandstand. We've had a shelter out by the light tower in right field. We put up the duck blind. The Mallards paid for that and did the labor work on that. So anybody that would want to donate at least $1,000, that's a grand in monetary figures, or volunteer enough labor time to amount to something like that in a future project, we could put your name on a Grand Slam Club that would be posted every year forever.
Where's that posted at, Dick?
Well, it's not right on the existing grand
concession
okay. stand, and then we filled it up. That's a big piece of sheet metal. We filled it up, and we put another one above the window of the concession stand. So there's always room for more names.
Okay, good. Hey, let's take a commercial break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the future, what we're okay. raising the money for, and Bart's got a lot of great ideas, and we'll hear about that. But before we do that, I want to welcome our new sponsor to the Coach's Show, the Country Butcher in Dawson, one of our new sponsors here for the Coach's Show, along with Madison Bottling Company and Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods. And we thank Kip Stender for doing that. And we'll be back after this.
About this a little bit.
For quality meats, you can't beat the Country Butcher downtown Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday 9 to 1, Sundays by appointment. You can call them at 320-769-2238. Check their weekly special in the Dawson Sentinel and listen right here on Q92. That's the Country Butcher. They're located right on Main Street, Dawson, Minnesota. A cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
With higher commodity prices comes higher coverage and higher costs. If you are looking for an agent with a common sense approach that is fine-tuned to your operation, talk to an agent with Haugen Insurance Agency today. With two convenient locations on Highway 75 in Madison and Ortonville, we are able to meet your needs. We can walk you through how your multi-peril policy is used for marketing bushels to take advantage of good prices, and we can also look into whether or not a hail policy makes sense for your operation. Stop by our office or visit our website at www.haugencropins.com. Haugen Insurance Agency Incorporated, a farmer's helping hand.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Back here at the radio station talking baseball, kind of fun to reminisce about the years gone by, Bart, but let's... We mentioned it, but tonight, if you haven't purchased a ticket, certainly welcome to come in the door. The social hour starts at about 5:30 with a meal starting at 6. And it, if you come as a single, it's $30. You come as a pair, it's $50. And what's the meal, Bart, do you think?
A couple choices. There's two choices of meat and potatoes. And
beef and pork, rolled pork.
I think
mashed potatoes with garlic stuff
it's
and green
stuff.
Beans. And it's a good meal. And I think it's self-serving.
Yeah, just a buffet style. Walk up and grab your food. And it's good stuff.
And then there's all kinds of fun and games throughout the evening. We have the big drawing at somewhere around 8 o'clock, if you haven't been approached by a board member or person to pick up a raffle ticket.
They're all gone now.
Well, they might be.
they
might be. I know I got a check from Mike Albright and I brought it down to see Matt Munson. He did not have enough tickets, but Chad Kranz had a book of 10 tickets, and all Matt had at that time was 4 tickets. So you could check with the Matt Munson when you see him, and they're $20, and there's 9 prizes there. $2,000 cash, two $1,000 cash, a $500 prize, and 5 $100, amounting to $4,000. So if all tickets are sold, that's $10,000, but the giveaway will be $4,000, so $6,000 possible profit, but that's pretty good odds, really, as it turns out.
When we're selling 500 tickets, you got a 1 in 500 chance.
Yeah.
If you bought multiple tickets, you got a better chance.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then there'll be live music by the Garage Dwellers later on, and I think right now we have over 100 people coming.
Yeah, I think the last count was 103 people, so okay. That was awesome. So that'll be in the back room at the happy hour. They'll serve the meal back there, and then the Garage Dwellers will be performing there. And like you mentioned, Dick, you know, you can still come in. There's going to be some 50-50 yep. and drawings and spin the wheel, but you know, we wanted to kind of keep it together in the back room there because of the people that did buy the tickets, and that's where the music's going to be. But you certainly can come in through the door. It's still open, and maybe you can partake in the 50-50 or the spinning of the wheel and yep. things like that. There are some prizes that we're going to give out. I believe those are just going to go to the people that purchased a ticket. But, you know, you can come down, like you mentioned, and stop in, say hi, drop off a donation. Anything is obviously helpful.
It'll be interesting to see some of the outfits that people bring be wearing as a take me out to the ball game theme.
Yep. That's right.
What time's that start then?
I think happy hour is 5:30, yep. and then somewhere around 6:30 will be the meal.
Yep. And that's today.
That is today. Okay. Tonight. That yep. At the today. Happy hour. So
okay. So
good.
And proceeds will go to future improvements. I know we have a big plan in the future. Mm-hmm. I hope I live long enough to see it. But
me too.
It's talking. Oogles of money to do, but replace, tear down the existing grandstand and bathrooms and storage area and build new, and have a press box not above that existing concession stand, but above home plate someplace, and a lengthy press box. I mean, that old one that you when you first came to town fit 2 people, and that was about it.
Yeah.
And
I remember people climbing up there. They had that little wooden ladder yep. that you had to open the door and pull it down.
The single press box.
The single press yep. box. Yep. Yeah, you could fit 2 if you both sucked in your, you know, well, gut for.
I used to have
2
Matt Chepkis videotape the games from there. Just push the button and
yep.
Have it at the batter, and we could videotape and then in the old time, Chick Sabanin would. There was an old 45 record player up there that he would play 45s. And that's what I like to do for home baseball games is play oldies. Kids call them oldies. I call them originals, but some of the parents can relate to those too. And I'll throw in some country western and more recent stuff as well.
Mr. Sabanin, he did a fantastic job. He's quite a character and did a great job, didn't he? Remember him, Bart?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Well, I remember too. We had to put out those giant metal speakers, you know, that we with the long wires, and we got those from who was the electronics guy? And we had to get them.
Vern Molstead. Kirby. Kermit
Molstead. Yes.
Okay. At the old Skelly station.
So then we'd come down and get them in the spring and return them in the fall, and so it wasn't the best. And then of course, you know. Those wires were just kind of twisted together, and when it rained out, you'd hear the static. And we had to warn people, don't touch the wires when it's raining.
Well, the old-time light bulbs, when it was raining at a game, which happened sometimes, you had lights on, and then you'd hear pop, pop, pop. They'd explode, and the glass would come down.
All right.
So
tonight, the fundraisers for improvements of the ballpark, right?
Correct.
Oh, yes.
And Dick mentioned the grandstand and stuff. Well, what's the plan there?
The real big concern, Paul, is that the bathrooms are, you know, that storage underneath, there was old cement cinder blocks, you know, and the bleacher set on top of it. And that is all cracking, you know, eroding. Water's leaking through constantly. You know, there's only one stall in each of the bathrooms. There's not enough, you know, for everyone. They're not even handicap accessible or anything like that. So we want to just, you know, get rid of the whole thing, start anew, make modern bathrooms, you know, multiple, you know, toilets and things like that, you know, with more than one sink, just a whole bunch of things. And then, of course, the storage right now. If you go down there and look behind there, we got a great flag mural that Dan Wilson made that's shown its age as well. But one of the storage areas, the door is so broken, it's just going to, when you pull on it, it's going to just crumble down at any point. And in there, we keep our clay and chalk and our umbrellas and chairs. And that thing is just constantly wet in there. The floor is wet, you know, the bags get wet, and it's just not conducive for anything. So we really have to, we have no choice. We've got to, you know, improve the bathrooms, number one, the storage area, concession stand area. You know, right now, if you're working in the concession stand, you can only see about half of the field, and that's unfortunate. And then we talked about the press box. You know, I've seen you and Dick and myself climb up there, especially if you're carrying your bag or something else. It's hard to get up there. And when you get up there, the new one has room for maybe three or four tightly fit.
At most,
And that's about it. So we need to expand that to give the announcers, because there's times where we have two radio stations covering the game, and we just don't have the room for those people up there. So there's a lot of things that need to be done. And I would say that, you know, just off the top of our head, we had some engineers from Alec came down, and, you know, they're talking about the whole project start to finish, getting rid of the old stuff, putting up the new stuff. You know, they're talking at least $400,000 to $500,000, you know, and with the price of everything going up, who knows what it is now. So we've kind of, in our minds, have scaled back the version a little bit. But you're still probably looking at $250,000-$300,000, you know, and with these fundraisers making $6,000 a pop, you know, it's going to take forever to do that. So we're going to be reaching out to community members, to businesses and stuff in the area, and just say, hey, you know what, this is a pretty valuable commodity that we have in town. It brings a lot of people to town from a lot of communities all over the state in South Dakota. And we feel like it's worth it, and hopefully the town feels like it's worth it, and we can start generating the funds needed. And, you know, in our mind, in my mind, I'd like to start that this fall, get rid of everything and start working on it this fall. So we've got a lot of work to do this summer, Paul, to start securing some of those funds. But, you know, it's just something we have to do. It's needed, and we need to get it done.
And if that ever should happen, where we have to tear down the old grandstand and that, we need some storage space. So kind of a plea for us, if you have a single or a double garage someplace that is still fairly sturdy and you think it's maybe movable, let us know, because we would get a group of people and lift that thing up and bring it to town and set it on a cement slab that storage for all the chalk and equipment and the tractors lawnmower and all that stuff out of the elements. So that would be a great addition to our existing ballpark, but certainly if we have all that new grandstand type deal as well.
Yeah, last year Matt Munson and Darby Bjorgan went in that storage room and pretty much cleaned it out, threw a lot of stuff out, but we discovered there was a family of raccoons living in there, so the smell was not good. And, you know, if you look at little baby raccoons, they're kind of cute until they invade your space, and nobody likes them.
Right. I should mention, too, you're talking about the improvements there. What that does then is maybe get down the road, get you a section tournaments, you know, and in the town team tournaments and stuff. Yeah. And
we've hosted a number of amateur tournaments. We've kind of centrally located between us and Rosen. In the last few years, we've kind of hosted it with them, co-hosted it with them, and nice ballpark up there too. But our advantage is that we do have lights in case of have to play some night games.
Well, just look what Montevideo's done in the last few years, and they got to host state tournaments and because of their improvements to their park.
And that along with motels.
Right. Yeah. And that's what needs to be done too, because, you know, it's a serviceable, you know, facility, but there's so many things that are outdated that, you know, that was, I don't know when they originally put up that building, because it used to be the tickets and concession for the football field right. back in the day for the Madison High School team. So that gives you an indication of how old that building is.
Yeah. Well, it was in the 40s. Yeah. So the lights were constructed, I believe, in 48. Okay. So, yeah, and they've lasted. Also, you know, in that storm of July 31st, I'll never forget that date, 2011, when that storm came through town and blew down the outfield fence. It blew down two light towers, and they don't make that type of light tower anymore. The one in left field, completely out of it. The cement, cement things of about 15, 20 feet deep are uprooted, and then the one on first base, the double deck up above it was just twisted. So we needed two light towers like that, and we found them in Renville, Minnesota. So there is a sign that's thanking the Renville County School District for that. Renville West County School District.
Scoreboard?
Well, the welder in town, Mike Tunn, yep. and
Greg Thole.
Greg Thole went over there, and they took the eight towers down. We needed two of them, and the others two some other school district got, and they moved them over here and put them up. Mm-hmm. That was another improvement that we do. And thanks to Don Huseby, we have the best lit ballpark around. You look at the other ballparks, outfield lights have six lights, others only have four, and the ones behind first and third have 12, and the others only have six or eight. So we have a very well-lit ballpark.
Yeah, so like I said, there's always things to do, and that's the biggest thing now is just to get that, you know, the press box, concessions, storage, bathroom area completed, and hopefully we can work on that. So.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the fundraisers tonight at the happy hour?
Yep.
Correct.
Starting at what time?
5:30.
Yeah. So come on down.
Where are your baseball, Doug?
Okay.
That's easy to do.
And good luck this week, Bart.
Yeah, thank you. So, like I said, if you're not doing anything, I know they're not out in the fields yet, so we should have a big crowd down there, and it's supposed to be, at least for one day, a very nice day down at the ballpark.
Well, we're hoping that we can start at 8:30 next week and talk to both tracks, boys and girls, with John Sherb, with softball, with the new softball coach, Scott Swatsky, having a result, tennis, boys and girls golf. So seven sports in the spring starting at 8:30 next Saturday morning.
Right. All right. You got a sick joke of the week or?
No. I forgot to bring him down here. Okay. I do.
Bart's got one, I'm sure. Well, we got to end with a sick joke of the week.
I'm going to drive with a couple students at 10:30 and they're probably still in bed. But how many months or some months have 30 days? Some months have 31 days. How many months have 28 days?
Oh, Maynard hollered.
Maynard's got it.
Maynard's got it. All of them.
They all have 28. Some have more than 28.
Yeah.
I got a real quick one.
Yep,
so
go ahead.
What did the baseball say to the bat?
What?
Nothing. Baseballs can't talk. That's like a dad joke.
Okay.
Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Paul. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.